Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. What does Jesus promise when we pray? On today's program, we continue our series, The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached, looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. So let's go back to the Bible with Dr. John Neufeld as we learn about a powerful lesson in prayer.
I'm reading Matthew 7, 7 to 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You know, in Martin Luther's Table Talk, which is a record of what was said in Luther's home around his kitchen table when pastors from all over Europe often joined him for biblical conversations and for prayer, one day, Luther's puppy happened to be at the table. He squatted on his back legs the way that a dog will do, and he's looking for a morsel from his master. The dog was motionless, eyes fixed solidly on Luther. Clearly, he was waiting expectantly. Luther, in turn, was watching the dog, and then he said, "Oh, if I could only pray the way this dog watches the meat." All his thoughts are concentrated on the piece of meat. Otherwise, he has no thought, wish, or hope. You know, that's not a bad illustration of exactly what Jesus is speaking of in today's passage. But before we get into the details, let's clear out a few possible misconceptions so that we're all on the same page and know exactly what it is that we're talking about. First, there are still some Bible teachers who insist that this passage speaks about asking, seeking, and knocking, not of God, but of fellow human beings. In their opinion, this passage is about expecting kindness from others. After all, they say, hasn't Jesus just taught us about not judging others? And therefore, Jesus' disciples should take the initiative to let others know their needs, and they're going to be surprised by how people respond when asked. You know, but this can't possibly be the right interpretation of this passage. A careful study of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount shows that from chapter 6 onward, the focus of everything is on God. Don't allow your religious devotion to fan into the flames of pride, Jesus taught. Do everything you do before God, not people. And then when praying, pray this way: Our Father who is in heaven. And then, don't be anxious about anything. Rather, trust God to provide all your needs. That's the wider context of all that Jesus was teaching now. And so the asking, seeking, and knocking that Jesus is talking about is asking, seeking, and knocking before God, not before people. Now, second, another important issue has to be dealt with, and it's the use of the word everyone in verse 8. When Jesus says, everyone who asks receives, is that to be taken as a promise for the entire human race? Now, the answer must be that the use of the term everyone must be restricted, or to put it another way, the everyone refers to everyone in a certain subgroup. Now, how do we know that? Well, we know that from the wider context of the Bible. Consider Isaiah 59, verses 1 to 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. The Bible makes no promise of answers to prayer to those who have no covenant with God. As long as we're in our unconverted state, in which we are, as Ephesians 2:3 describes it, by nature the children of wrath, God is placed in no position where he must answer those who have no covenant of forgiveness and mercy. What makes the atoning death of Christ on our behalf so meaningful is that we are translated from darkness into light and suddenly become adopted into children of God. Our relationship with God changes our expectation that God will answer us. Now, God may answer the prayers of an unbeliever. Isaiah 59 doesn't say he never does. In fact, Isaiah 59 only says to Israel, as they prayed to God to deliver them from their enemies, that the people who were praying were actually rebels. And God was not going to answer them. Indeed, they were going to be defeated by the Babylonians. God may, out of His mercy, answer a non-Christian when he or she prays. But He does not answer them out of His covenant. Only those who have a covenant with God have a promise that God will answer every time they call. Now, to the Sermon on the Mount. Remember that Jesus began His sermon by saying, "You are the light of the world and the salt of the earth." He's not saying that everyone is the light of the world. Rather, in His followers, the citizens of His kingdom, they are in fact the light of the world. In the same way, the everyone in chapter 7, verse 8 is everyone who is His follower. Everyone who is in the kingdom of heaven, when he or she asks of God, will find that they will receive. For God does not neglect His children. So to review, this is a restricted passage in which those who have entered into the kingdom, through the mercy of God portrayed in the cross of Jesus, can go to Him and are invited to ask whatever they wish of their Heavenly Father with great boldness. Now, before we go on again, one more item. What are we to ask, and why is Jesus talking about this now? You know, the answer is found in everything He has been saying up till now. He's promised His followers that others will revile them and persecute them. He has commanded them to love their enemies. He has warned them against lust. He has commanded them not to divorce their spouses. He has told them to be generous with their finances, so generous that they might need to count on God to get them through. And in the last section before this teaching on asking, He has told His followers not to judge unnecessarily, meaning they are further vulnerable to be taken advantage of by other people. See, the very nature of being a disciple of Jesus is intended to drive us, His followers, into a relationship of vulnerability with Him. And therefore, the life of following Jesus means that we're constantly in need of God intervening on our behalf. After all, Jesus Himself would later teach in Matthew 10, verse 16, "I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." If God does not intervene on our behalf, we can't possibly survive. Now, to His disciples in desperate need, Jesus tells them, "Go to God and ask and seek and knock." In a sense, these three words are intended to be a threefold manner of urging them to pray. Each of these three words gives a fresh sense of what we are to do when we go to God in prayer. So the first word, ask, is rather straightforward. Now, this word ask would not seem like a strange word to Jesus' original followers. You know, the Old Testament is filled with these kinds of words. Let me give just one example. In Zechariah 10, verse 1, God speaks to Israel, who might have been anxious that in the time when the spring rains might have fallen and were essential for crops, Israel might have been anxious. What happens if the spring rains don't come and we don't get a crop this year? You know, if that happens, we're going to encounter a famine. To that, God speaks, "Ask rain from the Lord in the seasons of the spring rain, from the Lord who makes the storm clouds, and He will give them showers of rain to everyone, the vegetation in the field." And so God says, ask. You know, to ask requires a consciousness of need. In Luke 18, the difference between the Pharisees and the publican is that the Pharisee asks for nothing, and the publican literally pleads with God for mercy. See, asking assumes an inferior coming to a superior. Asking assumes need. Asking requires humility. The Pharisees had none of that. Indeed, all of us who do not ask are like the Pharisee. Now, the next word is seek. Now, in a sense, we might think that if we're seeking, we don't know where to find what we're looking for. But that's not the issue. It has been suggested that the idea of seeking is connected to the idea of wisdom. In Proverbs 8, verse 17, wisdom says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me." Now, putting these thoughts together gives us a sense that we don't always know exactly what to ask of God. I do know that God Himself is wise enough to sort out our sometimes contradictory requests and give us what we need, but seeking implies that I am wise when I ask. Martin Luther said that to have prayed well is to have studied well. And so seeking might imply seeking the Word to find what we should ask. And then comes the matter of knocking. This assumes that a door is closed and we need it to be open. Imagine all the impossible scenarios of our lives in which we have needs, and wisdom has told us what we need from God, but the everyday reality is that the door is closed. We hear the word, "This is impossible." But Jesus, who passed through the disciples' locked door in the upper room, is able to open all doors. Ask, seek, knock, says Jesus to his disciples. This life of following him is intended to depend on God, and God richly provides.
Ask, seek, knock. We hear these terms a lot in Christian circles. But what do Jesus' words mean here when it comes to how we ought to pray? In this introduction, Dr. Neufeld has given us some great insights into what the Lord teaches us about humble dependence on God, and that as His children, we have the amazing privilege of a direct covenant relationship with Him. When we come back, we will continue our study on prayer with a lesson about the faithfulness of our Heavenly Father, who promises to provide all that we ask in His name. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. Dr. Neufeld continues to take us through the series on the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most famous passages of the entire Bible. We hope you have been blessed by listening to this great series that is so applicable for all believers today. Did you know you can also own all of these messages on CD for just ₹100, which includes shipping and handling? Contact us to get your series, The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached, on CD at 9492-440070 or visit at backtothebible.in.